You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm glad to have with me, once again, Michael Oliver. Michael is my most frequent guest on this show because more than any other technical analyst that I have ever encountered, actually, he's been spot on. And, you know, I'm not talking about, I've never been a real short-term trader, and so I'm not interested in little wiggles. What I want are the bigger waves, the bigger moves. I want to know that when I'm in a secular bull market or a bull market of some duration, I know I want to be in that bull market. But I don't want to be there when we turn the other way. And more than anybody else I've come in contact with, Michael Oliver has been helpful, at least to me, in feeling confident that I'm on the right side of the market. So thanks for joining me again, Michael. It's always a pleasure to have you with me.
Great to be back, Jay.
Always good to be back, and it's OliverMSA.com, OliverMSA.com. And Michael, you told me, you know, you don't come on, you don't pay to come on this show. You come on this show because I love to have you here because of the information you pass along to my listeners all the time. But you mentioned that you are providing a special to people now. Would you go ahead and tell my listeners?
Yeah, I hate to be self-promoting, but our rates are pretty high. As a research letter, our rates relative to most market letters is high. We also service a lot of institutional clients, and so for them it might be kind of low. But for the retail investor, market letter buyer, our annual rate's $1,800 a year, and a lot of people pay quarterly $475. For this week only, I decided we're going to run a special 6 months, one time only, for $475. So you're getting two quarters worth for one quarter's price. The end of the 6 months, you'll know whether you like or don't like the work, and then can continue or not continue at the standard rate, which is $475 a quarter. We cover all four asset categories, debt, commodities, foreign exchange, and stocks. So we have a wide view, and we tend to look at the longer-term view, and not, as you said, not the wiggles. We're not a day-trading type research product. But anyway, if somebody would like that trial, they simply send us an email by going to the site, and there's a login place there, and say, I'd like to try the trial, and we'll send them an invoice, and they can commence and see how they'll like the first 6 months. Anyway, thank
Thank you for that, Michael. Thanks for passing that along to my listeners, and I hope some of them will take advantage of it because you know, I've just said I really enjoy and feel confident in your work. You know, Michael, before we get started here, you started another part of your service that I think is also very helpful, and that is something you call MSA Trade Sheet that you put out once a week. Tell our listeners about that.
Well, it's just a summary of situations that we see as either recently occurred or underway, trend changes that are underway or pending. For example, we said short T-bonds back in October last year, T-bond futures at 166 to 163 zone. They're now in the low 150s. That's an ongoing trade. We've got a lot of trades that are pending, meaning we identify situations that look like an upturn is coming or a downturn is coming. Here are the numbers specified in the trade sheet, and often they're adjusted weekly or monthly. Again, we update each week. So what level turns this market down, turns that market up. And therefore, it's a quick reference sheet.
No, very handy because you put out a lot of things and not, you know, a lot of smaller markets, too, are specific subsets of those major four that you just mentioned, and very helpful. Well, you just mentioned the bonds. I see from your weekly sheet that you just referenced that you have pulled the trigger on the short side of the T-bonds. In other words, you believe that rates are going to go higher and...
In the long run, yes, we think they
are. Yeah, okay.
Since last October was that signal. However, in our reports, we've warned subscribers that T-bonds are in a counter-trend rally or an effort at a counter-trend rally over the last several months. In fact, it's been a... they had a almost an 8-point rally from low to high. We're not quite sure that rally's over yet, but it is a counter-trend rally. It is not a bull market. When it fails, and it will fail, probably within the next month or so, I think, bonds will go back down again. Rates will return to the upside. And we're not talking about nitpicking of Fed funds rates and stuff like that. We're talking about interest rates, long-term rates going up sharply.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important, and it will have impacts in other markets. We're very keen right now on the grain markets. The grain markets have been dormant, dead as a doornail, in fact, for about 3 years. But they have massive bases, and we think these bases are probably going to break out very soon. And our suspicion is, based on certain metrics that we look at, the first up leg in the grains, and I'm talking soybeans, corn, and wheat, and or the ETFs related thereto, could be a 40% surge.
Mm-hmm.
And so we like to identify situations like that that are quite often when a new trend emerges, it's a rapid whoosh of air, if you know what I mean.
Right.
It's a surprise. And those often can be quite profitable over a very short period of time.
Right.
So we're watching
that,
a lot of things that people otherwise might not watch.
Oh, I see that you've actually pulled the trigger on the long side on an ETF in the commodity space. So, and that's the kind of information. And of course, you...
And the GDX, for example. We've been bullish on it since last February. So,
right.
Gold miners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been bullish on that. And that has worked. That right now, we're seeing a little pause. The juniors, not the juniors, but the gold shares in general... You know, they started off, I guess, last year they were a lot stronger than the gold bull market,
mm-hmm.
than the bullion market, but now they've weakened a bit. What's your read on that? Are you still,
actually,
bullish?
If you look at the last few weeks, they've strengthened again sharply. The GDX got down under 21, and now is trading over 23. Will you do the percentage on that? Gold, meanwhile, has rallied $20. Do the percentage on that. GDX has gotten far stronger over the last week or two since the recent sell-off. And frankly, GDX, this is the unleveraged gold miners ETF, it's traded over 23, and our opinion is if you get up around the very high 23s or 24, especially on a weekly close, while that doesn't do anything to a price chart, to us, to our momentum work, it is a major breakout, and it suggests that we're headed back up into the high 20s or 30 again. And by the way, price chart, people who maintain point and figure charts, you know, the X's and O's, if they get upticks to 26, they'll be staring at a triple top pending breakout, pending up at $30. Getting the upticks out of this recent sell-off are important, and we think about another point up in the GDX, and it could unleash, which is not revealed again on the price charts, nor is it reflected in the gold, but I think GDX could revitalize itself very quickly.
Yeah, I guess maybe my sense is, since I'm looking at the smaller guys, the juniors, they have not performed as well, and there are some structural issues there having to do with a hedge fund, a GDXJ, in fact,
right.
That had to unload a bunch of them because they were getting so, I mean, there was so much money going into the GDXJ that they were buying, you know, owning upwards to 20% of some of these individual companies, and then that posed regulatory issues for them, and they had to sell out and get out. So I guess... that probably hurt the smaller guys more, but certainly encouraging, Michael, given my vested interest in seeing strong gold prices. Well, I'd like to get back, though, with a couple of minutes that we have left here yet, 2 or 3 minutes, concerning the bond market, the T-bond market, and I have to thank you for that Judas goat image. It was really very interesting, and in fact, I named my talk. The title of my talk in Vancouver was "Is the T-bond a Judas Goat?" and I gave you credit for that. But talk to us a little bit about this, because you know that the mantra, the idea that we're supposed to have, the propaganda has us believing that interest rates are going up for all of the good reasons. They're going up because the economy is getting strong, demand is strong out there.
Right.
When in fact, it seems to me that the Treasury may be having more and more difficulty funding itself. You know, the foreign money is going away. Social Security money is not nearly what it used to be in terms of funding.
Mm-hmm.
Quantitative easing is supposed to go away, but we see a huge amount of other sources that the Treasury doesn't say what it is coming in there. So could it be, I mean, people are buying or drinking the Kool-Aid, so to speak, believing that higher rates mean the economy is really good and therefore keep on buying those stocks, right?
Well, the T-bond yield made its low or high price in July of last year, low yield at 2.11%, 30-year T-bond. It's since surged up, I think, to about 3.25, and then leveled off. Our view is the next leg will take you to 4.25. Mm-hmm. Now, I think the first leg down, and this is quite true in many transitional markets, whether it's the top in stocks or bottom in commodity, whatever, the first leg is debatable. Both sides are still arguing about whether it's real or not, the turn. And so the first leg down in bonds, from the 160s down into the, got near 147 recently and rallied up to 155, I think it's about 151 right now, was sharp, but it was acceptable. Politically acceptable, so to speak. Oh, the economy's getting better, and you know, so forth and so on.
Right.
The next leg is the one that's going to shock them, because it's the next leg that suddenly those explanations sort of go by the way, and you start getting concerned what impact those higher yields are going to have on various other industries and so forth. Plus, you've got a couple in the other factor for foreign investors. They buy T-bonds. You know, they go to watch the dollar. The dollar's been beneficial to the extent that, you know, the dollar has gone up. But the dollar stalled for the last 2 years. And in our view, the dollar getting much under 99, which it is now, closing a month there, is a major trend break on our long-term momentum for the dollar, which indicates the dollar could weaken sharply. Well, that is a hindrance to the T-bonds, especially foreign investors in T-bonds. So that could come into play as well. I think the T-bonds could be the Judas goat, meaning you know, they lead the stocks to slaughter. Now the stocks are saying, it doesn't matter. Well, we'll see if it doesn't matter on the next leg down. And by that next leg, I mean if T-bonds, this intermediate rally we're in now, fails, which it will, we roll over. I think you could take the bonds into the high 120s. That would get you to about 4.25 yield. My bet is that leg down will not be shrugged off by the stock market.
No, I don't see how it could be, and it's going to wreak havoc on the Treasury as well. It's just you know, it's incredible how the central bankers have gotten us into this fix. It really is a disaster, thanks to Lord Keynes, I guess. But with 1 minute left here, to me it seems as though your dollar view, if you're right about that, that also paves the way for your bullishness on the commodities, the hard and soft commodities.
That would be wind at the back. There's no question about it, because so far the commodity upturn, which is a debatable thing in most people's minds, not in ours, we think the turn is underway, has been underway since early 2016 in a piecemeal fashion. Commodities, just like stocks, are segmented. You know, the commodities aren't all unified. So you have some sectors in the stock market do better than others and so forth. Well, last year was gold's year, silver, oil, sugar. But the grains and the meats were under pressure, capped off. They didn't participate. We think that's about to shift this year, where the food commodities join in. And they've already started to some extent. And I think when they join in, then you can have a full chorus. That's when it gets obvious.
All right. Well, we'll have to leave a go at that, Michael. Thank you again for your insights. Always appreciated. They're fantastic. And again, folks, Michael is offering a special. Quite a deal, actually. So OliverMSA.com, OliverMSA.com. Thanks, Michael, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week, hopefully. Well,
Thank you.
We do have to go to break now, but don't go away. Alistair McLeod will be with us. He's going to talk about why the United States needs to continue with its military-industrial complex to fund the Treasury. Very interesting concept, and there might actually be something to it. If so, you need to know about it. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Alistair McLeod.
Novo Resources focuses on the exploration and development of gold projects. Its flagship asset is the Beatons Creek Gold Project in Western Australia, where it is currently upgrading and expanding on its resources to produce an economic study in Q3 2017, followed by construction in Q1 2018. Novo enjoys a strong balance sheet and supportive shareholder support from the likes of Eric Sprott and Newmont Mining. It trades in Canada and the U.S. under the symbols NVO and NSRPF, respectively. A gold rush has begun. Recently, three of the largest gold mining companies announced strategic acquisitions in the Yukon Territories. Ahead of them was a group who had already consolidated the key claims covering the historic Klondike Gold Rush into one company, aptly named Klondike Gold Corp. Led by a team of accomplished geoscientists, the company is steadily advancing exploration to reveal the rich source of all that gold. The hunt for the next major discovery is well underway, and Klondike Gold's shareholders are strategically positioned. Stay ahead of the majors and follow KlondikeGoldCorp.com. Dynasert is a global leader in carbon emission reduction technologies. Created for use in diesel engines, the hydrogen unit has been proven to reduce carbon emissions by up to 40%, increase torque, improve engine oil quality, and provide up to 19% in fuel savings. Our leading-edge technology is designed for tractor trailers, rail, marine, and newly developed for diesel engine cars. Reducing the amount of greenhouse gases provides benefits to the environment, to communities and businesses, and to our shareholders.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.